Okay, we were talking about prayer last time. We got into this section. And we looked at these three examples here on the chart, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 12, just to show that there are biblical examples of in the first century when Christians gathered together that they prayed. And especially this third one, not just that they were praying when they were gathered together, but this was the reason why they were together. As you remember, who was it that was in trouble in Acts chapter 12? Peter. He had already seen the apostle James killed, correct? And when Herod saw that that made the Jews happy, then what was it that he did? He got Peter, and he was next. And the Christians were gathered together. Of course, the miracle was that the Lord sent an angel and got Peter out of jail. But the point is, do you think they expected that? They were there to pray. We don't know what they prayed, but it appears that they were really beseeching God on behalf of Peter for him to be spared in some way, which he was. The Lord took care of that. So we just offered these to show that it is biblical, it's scriptural for prayers to be offered, to lead in public, or when Christians are gathered together. All right? Now, there are certain principles to be remembered that govern prayer. And I want to go over these real quickly. And these are both, whether they're private prayers when you pray alone or as a family at home, or public prayers, but especially the public prayers, which is what we're focusing on here in the assembly. First off, look at 1 Peter 3:12 and Galatians 3:26. Let's look at that real quickly. Only those who have obeyed the gospel have the right of prayer. A lot of people have trouble with that kind of a statement, saying that's being rather judgmental, and that there's all kinds of people out there that you're saying don't have the right to pray to God. Well, that's what I'm saying, and the Bible teaches that. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Andrew, turn there and read that for us. Now, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You have to live righteously for the Lord to see you in the way that verse is talking about. But it just doesn't stop there. What does it say next in that verse? The Lord sees the righteous and, well, that's implied. But His ears to whose prayer? The righteous prayer. If you're not righteous, what does that teach us? Your prayers go as high as the ceiling, and that's just about where they stop. Now, someone says, that sounds pretty cold. Well, if you're not a Christian, okay, can you call God your Father? Is He your Father? He's not your Father. Not in the sense that the Bible talks about. Galatians 3:26. All right, look at Galatians 3:26. For you're all the children of the sons of God by faith. If you've not acted on your faith, someone says, yes, I believe in Christ and I believe in God. Well, I'm happy that a person does. Because if a person doesn't even believe in God, then they just got no hope at all. But to say that I believe in God and I believe that Jesus is His Son, I believe He's the Christ, okay, that's a good place to start. But if you've not acted on that faith, okay, if you've not done anything about that and done what this book says to do to become a child of God, then you're not His child. Well, then it stands to reason, if you're not His child, then you cannot call Him your Father. Our Father, as we pray. He's not your Father. So the Bible certainly teaches that only those who have obeyed the gospel have the right of prayer and can call God their Father. So that's a principle, all right? Now, without being too overbearing, does that maybe explain why that the elders are not involved, those in the assembly who aren't Christians? I mean, that just stands to reason. They're not trying to be mean or hateful. But especially in praying, you don't have the right of prayer. So you have to obey the gospel first and become a part of the family of God before you can participate in the public assembly, especially when we're leading public prayer. That's principle number one. Principle number two, those who pray must be righteous. Now this kind of gets back to the verse that Andrew just read in 1 Peter 3. The Lord's eyes are on the righteous, and His ears are open, or they attend to their prayers. Look at James 5:16. This is talking about Elijah. Remember back in the Old Testament, when Israel was not doing very good, Elijah prayed for a drought. And what did God do? For how long? I don't think 7 years, was it? 3.5 years. Half of what you said. 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again for rain, and what happened? God sent the rain. So, then James says what? After talking about that, then what's James saying? The effective, fervent prayer of who? Of a righteous man. Got to be righteous. What can an effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what's it going to do? It can accomplish or avail much. It can do a lot. So notice those things that are emphasized in that verse. The prayer has to be effective, and it has to be fervent. That tells us that he's just not kind of, you know, slopping through it like, I don't really care about this. No, he's fervent in his praying, and he's righteous. And God will hear those prayers. So especially when we pray for others. Elijah was praying on behalf of others. Why would he have prayed no rain? Isn't that kind of mean? In fact, you go back and you can find in the law, God had said, if you go chasing after idols, I'm going to withhold the rain from heaven. And that's what they were doing at this point in time. And so Elijah's praying, in essence, what? All right, Lord, let's put it on them. Let's get their attention. And so he prayed no rain. And God did not send rain. And then he prayed again and rain did come. But unrighteous people, how much are they going to avail in their prayer? Well, they're not going to avail much at all, because they're not living right in the first place. They're just not. So, those who pray must be righteous. So if we're going to pray on our own, at home by ourselves, and we know that God will hear us, which we'll talk about that from Matthew 6 before we leave this part of the study, we need to be righteous. But what if we're leading the assembly in a public prayer and we're not living righteous? That seem kind of funny to you? That don't make much sense, does it? That just doesn't follow. So those who will lead public prayer need to be righteous and need to be living the way God wants them to. All right? Thirdly, prayers are not for self-glory. Look at Matthew 6 now. Matthew chapter 6. We go back again to the Sermon on the Mount. We spent some time in our drills just a moment ago. Several of you read it from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. And the first 18 verses, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees, the Pharisees' form of self-righteousness, which we know that they puffed themselves up, we know, versus true kingdom righteousness. In fact, remember what he said back in chapter 5 and verse 20? He said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't get into heaven. So he was talking about how empty and how shallow theirs were. Their view of righteousness was. But now look at Matthew 6 now, verses 5 through 8. Paul, why don't you read those verses for us, please?
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have done before you ask.
And then in verse 9, the verses that follow, what's recorded? Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, and so forth. But now, let's look at what's stated in the verses that Paul just read. Verse 5. He said, when you pray, don't be like who? Don't be like a hypocrite. Now, I tell you what, sometimes the Lord used some pretty tough talk. He really cut right to the quick. What were these hypocrites doing with respect to their prayers? All right. Based on verse 5, what were they doing? For what reason? Showing off. Okay. They wanted other people to say, boy, what a... Did you hear that prayer? I'm telling you what. Look at him. He looks so righteous. And the way he prayed, what a guy. What a super-duper disciple of God. All right? Well, the last thing Jesus said, of course, and they don't do it in public. Where did they go? No, in verse 5. Where did these hypocrites go? Right on the corner. They're right out there in the open. Main Street, USA. So Jesus said, I'll tell you what. Here's what I think about that. How did verse 5 end? What did he say? What was their reward? Yeah. All the pats on the back from the... That's all they got out of that. That's as far as that prayer went. That's a waste of time, wasn't it? That didn't accomplish what true prayers ought to accomplish. See, they're doing it for self-glory. So what I'm saying is don't come out here and lead a public prayer just to make yourself look good. Because you may fool the whole audience out there, but you're not going to fool God with that kind of stuff. That's not going to work. All right? Verse 6. By contrast, Jesus said, I tell you where it really is. It's not about praying publicly. What is prayer about? Based on verse 6. For what reason? What's God going to do? We're seeking something from God. And Jesus said, you go in your prayer closet. Did you ever say prayer closet? Closet, all right. Some inner room. See, compare. Here you got the street corner. Here's my street. Okay, there's my intersection. And here's the little Pharisee right there on the corner. And he's blah, 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 blah. And everybody's hearing him. I mean, what a great guy. And here's your house over here. And inside you got this little room. Nobody sees you over there. See the difference between this guy and here? But who's going to hear you in that closet? God's going to hear you. And that's all that matters anyway. If you pray to have everybody hear you over here, you've missed it. But over here, we're in our closet. And the Lord who can see you in secret, is that what He said? The Lord can hear you and see you in secret. He will reward you. That's compared to this guy right there. Verse 7, also, what Jesus say? Not only do you not do it to be seen of men, but when you're out there praying publicly, don't do what? Based on verse 7. And why would they do that, based on verse 7?
Yeah.
Boy, that was a long prayer. He's a smart man. Listen to his vocabulary. Vain repetitions. Meaningless repetitions. We're not trying to judge anybody, but sometimes brethren pray and they're doing it just to be heard. It seems to me. And maybe I've been guilty of the same thing in the past also. But the point is, prayers are not for self-glory. That's not why we pray publicly. The very nature of praying, if we're in this to get glory for self, well, the very fact that you're praying to a higher being, what is that admitting? You are dependent upon Him. That's kind of a silly way to show how great you are by praying to somebody that's greater than you. So that just doesn't make sense, does it? So praying to be seen of men is empty and it's shallow. And Jesus said, don't do that. It's not for self-glory. So when we're praying publicly, or praying privately, but especially publicly. Somebody kicked my projector. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you wherever it was. I'm going to get you. Okay. So Jesus said, let's not pray for self-glory. So that's a principle with respect to prayer, both private and public. Okay. Now let's offer some suggestions keep in mind when we're praying. And this, we don't have much time left today, so we won't get all the way through this. But like we did with our reading, here's some things that I want you to think about, and you can think on these things. Again, the like reading, proper voice volume. Now, the difference between, and let me go ahead and say this. When you're praying, well, when you're reading, you're walking up there and you've got your Bible in your hand, you know what you're going to say, don't you? Because it's right there in front of you. What about when you're praying? Well, unless you've got it written down, and I wouldn't suggest that you do that, because that seems a little ritualistic to go up there and read a prayer. That just doesn't, I don't think that flows. Well, if you have a lot of names that you want to mention, I have done that before, but to write the whole prayer out and just go up there and read it, I wouldn't do that. But when you're praying, as compared to when you're reading the Scripture, it's kind of on the fly, isn't it? I mean, you're just going to, what am I going to say? Well, I don't know yet. It's just whatever comes into my mind. All right? So it's a little different. It's a little different. And sometimes, I'll go ahead and tell you before I get to this. I had it in my mind I was going to lead a public prayer one Sunday morning when we lived up in Louisville, Kentucky. And so we had four elders at the time. And so in praying, I was going to thank the Lord for our elders, which is always proper to do that. They were good men. Well, I get up there and I said, well, the best way to go about doing this was to name them alphabetically. That way there wouldn't be any way to mess that up. Well, what I do, I get the last one, I forgot his name. And there I stood, which to me seemed like an eternity. And I was about ready to say, and for the other brother, whose name I can't think of at the moment, you know, that would have been bad to say that. But then his name came to me. So sometimes you get up there and you're praying and you say, okay, I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to pray about that. And then you start into your prayer and you can kind of lose track of what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying all that to scare you. I'm just saying there's a little difference in praying publicly as compared to reading, because reading is right there in front of you. You don't have to think about what am I going to say next. It's right there. But praying, it takes a little more careful attention to what you're doing. But we'll say more about that in a moment. All right, so proper voice volume, like it was with the reading. Speak to be heard. Others want to be able to say the amen with you. And there's biblical precedent. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul wrote the church at Corinth. And again, we're using chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians for an overriding theme for these studies. How to edify the church. And of course, the chapter's talking, yes, they talk about spiritual gifts. Yes, we admit that. But look in verse 16. Verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding or the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit, and shall sing with the mind also. I think he's talking here about spiritual gifts, but the point is, look in verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted or the unlearned, who wasn't able to do what you could do miraculously, if you don't do this the right way, what can't he do based on this verse? What's Paul say? He won't know what to say. Amen. See? So if we're up here praying and we're kind of mumbling through it and we don't speak out and speak clearly to be understood, when we get done, just amen, amen, you know, kind of a thing. How's that going to be edifying to the brethren? It's not going to be. We want to speak to be understood so that when we get done and we ask the prayer, when we get done to be praying in the Lord's name, and then we say amen, then what can brethren do? They can say, amen. Because you're not praying just for yourself. What are you leading the assembly in? You're leading the assembly in a joint prayer. And they want to say the amen with you. So, proper voice volume. Speak to be heard. Others want to say the amen with you. And if you don't do that, then you're not letting them do what they want to do. See, they're waiting on you. They're depending on you to speak in such a way that they can understand what you're saying. Okay, we'll stop with that. And we'll pick up here next Saturday at 2 o'clock with this section on praying. And then we'll probably be doing some drills, I would suspect, the Saturday after. Not next week, but the Saturday after, when we get together out there and we'll do some praying together. All right. You all did really well on your reading. I'm proud of you. And keep practicing at home. If you've already not told Tony that you're willing to read publicly and think that you want to start doing that, then you or your dad can take care of that. And then don't be surprised if you don't see your name on the roster. And then you'll be doing it not just for practice, but that'd be a real thing in the assembly. All right. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it.